Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Michael Remus here with Connor Rabjack, the Winnipeg Sports Talk post-game reaction. Live here from Canada Life Center after the Winnipeg Jets lost 5-2 in Game 2 of Round 1 of the first round in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, a lot of intensity coming into the night. You know, what were we going to see here after a pretty crazy 7-6 Game 1? You thought you'd see more of a defensive effort from both sides. First of all, so much was made of the crowd as well coming into this game, getting national attention in the United States, notably Pat McAfee. I thought the crowd really brought it. I mean, the intro, very well done with the countdown. They come out, Hoosley with the anthem, and then, oh, there's actually a hockey game to be played. Before we get into the game, Connor, just want to give an overall your thoughts on what we just saw, the experience of the game, and the Winnipeg Jets ultimately losing 5-2.
Yeah, you talked about the atmosphere and the national attention it's been getting. It was a great crowd to start. The intro, well done by the Jets. That really gets the crowd going, gets them fired up. People are chanting Go Jets Go through the anthems. The Hoosley Choir doing the anthem once again. Great job by them as well. An incredible atmosphere ahead of puck drop. And for the first 35 minutes, let's say, that atmosphere carried through and fans had a lot to cheer about. And then the final maybe 25, 30 minutes of this game, not too much to cheer about, but the fans definitely brought it on a Tuesday night at 8:50, I think, the puck finally hit the ice. So I bet people were tired, but they brought it for sure.
Yeah, they definitely brought it. It kind of, I don't know, bit them in the ass a little, chanting for Georgiev.
Early,
I mean, makes the first save. They're giving him the cheer. But it was the Jets who got on the board first. Scoring first has been so key for them this year. A lot of success when scoring first all year. Brendan Dillon puts a shot on net. Alex Iafallo's in there whacking away. Rebound goes right to David Gustafson, and he puts it in a wide open net. Crowd erupts, 111.7 decibels on the Gus goal. What did you see on that one, Connor?
Yeah, great shift from the fourth line. They were cycling that puck for roughly 30 seconds. Got it up to the point. Rebound shot, like you said. And Gustafson, his first career playoff goal in a big spot. Gave the Jets a 1-0 lead. Like you said, the roof blew off this place. The atmosphere, they were ready to go. And getting an early goal like that feeds the energy into the crowd. They were great. And David Gustafson, the fourth line, with a good start. I don't think they really carried that through as a line through this game, but a great start nonetheless from the fourth line especially.
Yeah, and you look at back at the last game, it was Colorado that came out hot, and they were out shooting the Jets. But this one was actually the Jets. They're out shooting 5-1. Toffoli had just threw in front to Monahan at a tip chance. Not a lot going on for the next five. The Colorado had the first penalty of the game, an interference call. Jets went on the power play. They didn't score tonight.
Right.
They could have used a goal on the power play, but I thought they moved it well and generated chances overall. Throughout the first period, out shooting Colorado 8-2. There was an interesting exchange there. Lowry getting called tripping by Caleb Jones. And right after, there's a big makeup call with Niederreiter getting called for a hook. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think the officiating played a huge factor in this game, but one of the more clear makeup calls that you'll see.
And I said to you in the press box, and everyone was saying it, the makeup call is coming. Adam Lowry, did he get tripped? Maybe a little bit, but it looked more like he just lost an edge. And then, you know, Stanley Cup playoffs, the makeup call is coming. That was a lot quicker than I expected the makeup call to come on the power play, and that was not hooking on Niederreiter. That was just straight up not a penalty, but it's a makeup call. It's a Stanley Cup playoffs. You got to manage the game, and it burnt the Jets there.
Yeah, as the period went on, Colorado was the one that out-shooting, and I thought Hellebuck, he looked really dialed in.
He did,
I mean, goaltending was a huge talk of the game Georgia, you have like 6-something save percentage. Yeah. And Hellebuck gave up 7. You know that's not going to happen every game. Let Hellebuck look really strong. And,
yeah.
Colorado was bringing the pressure. They outshot him, 15-12 at the end of the first. And Hellebuck looked good. And they did, get out of the first period of the 1-goal lead. I thought they had to be pretty happy about their game.
Yeah. The last 5 minutes, like you said, Hellebuck was really dialed in. The Jets were getting hemmed in their zone. And that carried over maybe into the end of the second period. I thought the Jets came out in the second period and played well. And then obviously took a 2-1 lead that we'll get into in a second here. But those last 5 minutes was all Connor Hellebuck. He was dialed in from the start, made a lot of really nice saves, and maintained the Jets 1-0 lead through 20.
Yeah, the one thing you notice about Hellebuck, he just makes every save look routine. He gets in position and it hits him.
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of that, and you thought you were going to see a game where Hellebuck, has one of his great games for the Jets. Right. Second period started off hot. Colorado wins a faceoff. Ross Colton wins it to Miles Wood. And just a really quick shot through Hellebuck's pads and in. Not really much you can do there.
Yeah, it was through two defensemen as well. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it was the winger right next to Miles Wood. And then Josh Morrissey, I think it might have been, on that goal. Went through them and then Connor Hellebuck. He couldn't see it. He wasn't aware that that shot was coming that quickly off the faceoff. And just kind of a weird, fluky goal for the Avalanche, but it's a goal nonetheless. It was a tie game, and it was game on at that point. And they finally beat Connor Hellebuck. And like you said, up until that point, that was looking like an impossible task, but they did it on kind of a weird goal. But, hey, all goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs count for one.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you talk all about shutting down McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar, and talk about Avalanche. Guys. It was the bottom guys for the Avalanche, Ross Colton, Miles Wood. Getting in, and the game took a bit of a turn here. Kyle Connor with an aggressive forecheck. Kale McCarr gets the stick up, 4-minute double minor, and we weren't sure if it got him. At first, I thought maybe he snapped the head back trying to aim for a call, but no, it was
he caught him.
Blood, 4 minutes, and pretty big penalty kill here. I think for the Jets, they gave up 2 power play goals in game one, and 4-minute minor. It's a tough one, but they were up to the task there.
Absolutely. Yeah, the penalty kill was a huge question mark. Like you said, the Avs went 2-for-2. And on this one, I thought they blocked a lot of shots. When they had clearing attempts, they made sure of it, and they got it down the ice. And when you're doing that and you're blocking shots and you have Connor Hellebuck, you're going to kill penalties. And this double minor was really impressive. And then we'll get into it in a second here, but right on the heels of that, Mark Scheifele makes it 2-1. And I thought that was really the turning point, and the Jets were going to kind of run with this game from there.
Yeah.
You kill a 4-minute penalty. Mark Scheifele comes down and scores this gorgeous one-hand kind of deflection into the top corner. And this building absolutely erupted. I think that's the loudest it's been over these first two games. They were charged up from the penalty kill. Scheifele scores. It just erupted in here. And I thought that was it. Well, I didn't think that was the game, but I thought that would give the Jets enough momentum to carry that into the third, play their style, shut things down, take a 2-0 series lead, but obviously that wasn't the case.
Yeah, Kyle Connor gets out of the box. He finds a puck on a turnover, and really nice pass, across
gorgeous
the ice
pass
to Vilardi. It was almost like a no look. Like he looked up, put his head down, and then threw it to him, and he found Scheifele, as you said.
Yeah.
The one hander, and you said maybe the loudest pop that we've seen.
I think so.
The decibel meter would agree.
Oh.
They have it on the screen here.
# analytics.
Yeah, these are some real analytics. 112.2, if you think that's accurate. I said the Vlad one was like 111. So
okay.
People
yeah.
were fired up. It was a big sequence. The Avalanche had 2 power play goals. They're now 0-for-3 on the power play, and the Jets have a 2-1 lead. Connor, he did hit one off the post.
Oh, yeah.
After that as well. But the Avalanche quickly tied it up. The way they've done this a couple times, just a number of drop passes at the blue line. McKinnon, Taves, to Makar. And he's so good at getting shots really hard and on net. And Arturi Lehkonen, he had a goal in game one. Mm-hmm. He's been a big playoff performer for them and Montreal, actually. And he tipped it in, and all of a sudden, a tie game.
Yeah, you talk about turning points, and I thought the Scheifele goal would be one. This was a massive swing in momentum. Kyle Connor nails the post. That goes post and in. The Jets go up 3-1. And then what I said earlier about maybe the Scheifele goal being the turning point would have maybe come true. You're up 3-1 at that point. You can go into the third, shut things down. But no, you hit the post. They come down. The Avs' best players do what they do. Arturi Lehkonen ties the game, and that
was what swung the momentum back the other way for the Avalanche and carried them through late in that second period, and they weren't done there in the second period.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and it's funny, we talked before the series, Hustler did with Murat on last week's show, saying, oh, Hellebuck, you know, he's been pretty good at playing the puck this year. And he has been good. We haven't seen any of those errors that you've seen in the past. But, you know, rolling puck, coming towards him kind of slowly.
Yeah.
He was a training, forechecking really hard.
Yeah.
Steals the puck, ends up on Parisi's stick, gets a couple whacks at it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's 3-2, and... You know, Connor Hellebuck, you give him the benefit of the doubt on the first two. The first one was a quick one.
Yeah.
Second one's a tip. Those are tough. But, you know, what's the saying? Steve Dangle's saying is if you're a goaltender, ten the goal. I mean, you can't make those kind of mistakes here in the playoffs, and they got burned.
Totally. And like you said, he has been better this year at doing that, but this was just not the time for that to kind of rear its head and reemerge as an issue for Connor Hellebuck. And that was the swing of momentum, the complete avalanche of, I guess, there we go, no nice. Pun intended, avalanche of goals from the Colorado Avalanche there. No, but Zach Parise, a nice play, a nice forecheck, rolling puck. Connor Hellebuck's got to be better there. He'd admit it. And yeah, the Jets take the 3-2 deficit into the third period. Or no, wait, the Avs score again,
They score again, yeah.
So Jets stop there.
Ehlers takes the puck into the corner. Falls.
Yeah.
Lekkonen, you know, he's trying to put it into the corner. You know, he goes to the board, he's kind of put it in the corner. Can't quite do it. Lekkonen gets, you know, what is it? I think ends up on McKinnon's stick at the blue line. Mm-hmm. Just a beautiful pass to Josh Manson out of the box. Right. Him and Vilardi were in the box at the same time. Manson, you know, the way he comes out, he's already got two steps on him. And I'm like, is that Josh Manson on a breakaway?
Yeah.
And he puts it past Hellebuck. It's 4-2, and I don't know. Think that was kind of it, but certainly a big swing of momentum there from the Scheifele goal to a couple minutes later. The Jets are down 4-2. You know, they were out shooting Colorado at the start. Now Colorado's taking it to them 29-22 after the second period, and the Jets are down 4-2. I think the players talked about this play. I mean, that's just, I think Rick Bowness said, what? Just unfortunate timing.
Unfortunate timing,
Manson coming out of the box.
Yeah, and you could hear a pin drop in this place at that point, because after the Scheifele goal, the highest of highs, the loudest pop by the analytics there, the Avs score three straight goals and take a 4-2 lead into the second period. And I saw people online maybe saying Ehlers was tripped here. Mm-hmm. I didn't really see a replay where in the moment, it looked like he just lost an edge, but maybe there was a replay. I didn't see it of some contact with his feet. And then I also saw people ripping Gabriel Vilardi for losing his guy out of the box.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the penalty boxes here. There's about a 5-foot gap between the home penalty box and the visitor's penalty box, and that's how much of a gap Manson had on his breakaway. I don't know if that's really Vilardi losing his man or if it's just unfortunate timing, like Rick Bowness said.
I actually agree with Rick. I mean, he comes over to the box, and he's got two steps on
that's
Vilardi.
That's the gap, yeah.
And
I don't know.
It's just unfortunate. I don't know if Nikolaj Ehlers, like last game, I thought he was holding onto the puck pretty well, skating.
Today was
today maybe it was just a case of him trying to do too much and
try to
spin out and lost an edge and couldn't really recover and went right to Colorado. So 4-2 coming in, and this place was definitely a lot quieter, not quite the raucous atmosphere from the start. And coming out in the third period, I mean, not a lot. It just seemed difficult for them to generate chances. Appleton flipped one up to Niederreiter, but it wasn't a huge thing. But the Morrissey, Schaefly, Connor, Velarde, you know, those four guys on the ice together, when they were on the ice, they had the best chance to score.
Sure.
It seemed like everyone else was having a bit of trouble generating scoring chances.
Yeah, and what you saw in the third period, in my opinion, is a veteran Stanley Cup winning core knowing how to shut things down in the third. The Jets controlled puck possession. They were shooting the puck a lot, but they weren't getting really those high danger chances. Nikolaj Ehlers had a good one that we'll talk about in a second here. The Jets did have a power play where they generated some good chances, but outside of that, there wasn't really anything where it was super high danger and the Avs were really leaking chances against, and I just think that's that veteran experience taking a 4-2 lead into the third on the road. They were able to shut things down even with all the goaltending questions coming in, but Gorgiev was a lot better tonight. Full disclosure,
I had about 900 save percentage, and they were able to shut it down. There were some chances. They did get a power play, move the puck. Monahan, I think, had the best chance there. You mentioned Niederreiter found Ehlers like all alone at the side of the net.
And a good save by Gorgiev. Like, that's just a good save.
And they
bounced back.
They pulled the goalie Nikushkin with a spinorama goal from the boards to ice it. You're tied 1-1. And I think if you thought this was going to be easy, going to be a four-game sweep, which we didn't.
No.
You're going back 1-1. I think you still have to feel okay. It would have been nice. You know, you're up 2-1, but it wasn't like they couldn't come back from that. But
no.
You got a taste here, and we'll see how it goes. For game three in Denver Friday at 9 p.m. Central Time.
Yeah, and there's a reason the Jets were underdogs in the series, underdogs in this game. Like, the Colorado Avalanche are a really good hockey team with three world-class players, and what you saw in the third period was them shutting it down completely, buy-in from top to bottom. And the Jets, they're not going to sweep this series. Like, that was never a question, that was never a thought that they could sweep this series. The Colorado Avalanche are a really, really good team, and their ability to shut things down in the third was paramount.
I just got a text from Hustle, and he'll be live Wednesday at 1 p.m. on our YouTube channel. He said that four-minute penalty kill followed by the crazy Schaefly goal, thought it was the Jets' night, and it seemed like it was, but credit to Colorado for fighting back, and credit to their goaltender for silencing a lot of critics, because that was the talk. So the Jets are going to have to figure out how to keep the puck out of their net. I mean, who's allowed more goals here over two games, and it's not the, or sorry, it is the supposed to be Vezina Trophy winner.
Exactly, and he will win the Vezina. That's a regular season award for sure, but he has a lot of questions to answer here. He's let in, 10 goals, quick math.
Nice,
there you go. Over the last two games, and again, the goals tonight, like, were they really his fault? Maybe the one off the faceoff, you'd like him to be a little bit more attentive to what's happening there, but the Jets need to just play better in front of them, I think. The defensive structure just hasn't been there. Going to Denver, you're going to need a team effort. You can't line match Lowry against McKinnon every single time that you'll want to. So you're going to need it from all four lines, and I think all four lines needed to be better on this night, and they weren't.
Hey, if you made it this far, thanks so much. Hit the thumbs up below the video. Hit the subscribe to our channel. And Winnipeg Sports Talk Daily, live Monday to Friday at 1 p.m. Central Time. We got Jets Weekly with Connor on the weekend as well. And all our social media links in the description of this video. For Michael Remus, I'm Michael Remus, Connor Rabchak, and this is the end of the Winnipeg Jets post-game reaction.